We say it like it is. No fluff, no double talk. It's straight from the hip. Bring what you got, but you better know what you bring. It's Talk Radio with J.D. Moore.
Do you ever wonder when you're maybe sitting around by yourself and you get those goosebumps and you just can't explain it? Or how about those times when you're like maybe doing the laundry in the basement, or maybe you're up in the attic and you hear something, maybe a voice, somebody whispers, and you turn around and there's nobody there? Well, you know what? That's what we're going to do today, and we're going to discuss it, we're going to talk about it, we're going to find out everything we need to know about the paranormal. And to get us there, we've got two great people here from the Orlando Paranormal Investigations from down there in Florida. And I really wish I could have you guys here in the studios, but unfortunately, you're 1,000 miles away, so that would be a little difficult, and we just can't afford to fly you here. Now, if you wanted to drive, we could do that, but that'd still take you forever. But we have got some awesome places up here in the D.C. area. I know that you guys would love to come and investigate. We have with us Aubrey Law and Russell Martina of the Orlando Paranormal Investigations. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you being with us today.
Oh, glad to have us.
Okay.
Glad to be here.
Let's start with this, okay? I know it would help. And it's just like I said there in the opening. You know, how many times do you sit around and you're just sitting there all by yourself, and all of a sudden you get the goosebumps and you can't explain where they're coming from? Or the hair on the back of your neck stands up. Or, and I've had this happen to me a couple of times, where I'm just sitting around and it feels like somebody, you know how maybe Aubrey, you could maybe say, explain a little bit of this, is you feel like somebody's just very lightly just tapping on the back of your neck, or like, you know how somebody will mess with you and they'll do like a little spider walking across you, but there's nothing there. You know what I'm talking about? How much of this have you experienced, and how hard is it for you to try to explain these kind of things?
Honestly, it's very simple to explain, in my opinion. I'm very much a skeptic when it comes to the paranormal.
Right.
I'm the guy who goes in there and tries to debunk everything and try to find a logical explanation about it. When it comes to stuff like that, 80% of the time, it's not paranormal, to be honest.
Why do you say that?
I mean, it's usually just some kind of a electromagnetic field or something. Even equipment you're around could be actually making you feel that way.
Electromagnetic field. So if I'm out in the middle of the field about 50 miles from any kind of electricity, you're saying there's still some kind of electromagnetic field that I'm going to run into that's going to make my hair stand up?
Well, actually, if you're out in the middle of a field, then it's a good possibility it could be paranormal.
Well, I mean, I know you guys use these EMF meters. I mean, that I know of. And with these, the equipment that you use, and I know there's some of it that's more sensitive than others, and there are some that's probably crap, and I've seen some of that as well. But I've seen it actually on your website, and I've seen it at other places. People say, well, we use the EMF meter, and we get these electromagnetic field readings and so forth. But this, not, you know, they use these to pick up electromagnetic field for other reasons as well. So it's not specifically just for the paranormal. Is that right, Aubrey?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, Russell and I are very fishy on both of it. He goes more towards the sensitive side. I kind of actually go more a little bit more towards the sensitive side. He goes the scientific side. I'm more of the sensitive side. I know exactly what it means to walk into a room, you know, where you get that feeling like two people just had a huge argument, and you walk into the room and you feel that heaviness and your whole entire mood just changes. Like, you almost tend to feel that anger yourself, and you kind of don't know what just hit, you know, came over you. Or
so are you saying that you're one of these people that not communicates, but has more feeling of something is there? Is that right?
I don't necessarily go more towards the psychic. I don't believe that I, you know, can sense, like, per se ghosts or anything like that. But I do believe that there's a lot of different people out there that can sense things. You know, everybody's got different type of senses, you know, what they want to pick up on and how they want to feel. Like, my thing is I'm very, very, like, I love people a lot. So when I meet somebody for the first time, I tend to pick up on their vibe a lot more. I tend to read into them a lot more. And I've always thought that, you know, strongness that I have, love for people, being able to sense people, pick up on people, can move over into the paranormal side too.
So what you're saying is Russell is kind of like this anti-gravitational guy where it doesn't come to him as much as it does you.
Well, you must be
what they say is the negative energy guy, right?
I'm not negative, but like the one thing that's really good about our organization, we have 9 members right now, and we all come at it at a different aspect, and right. that actually works together with us. It works right. well that way.
Right. Well, I could see that because if you have 9 people who have a huge belief in what you're doing, then you're less likely to be real about what's going on. I'm sure.
Yeah, that's got to be one of my biggest pet peeves about paranormal groups today. Is there are very many groups out there that are just made up of one type of person. You know, there's one group out there that doesn't do anything but scientific stuff. There's one group out there that just doesn't do anything but focuses on the psychic stuff. And my biggest advice, if you ever want to do a group or start a group, is you have to have different views, because there's so many different things about the paranormal that aren't proven, and so many different sides and so many different things. You know, I walk into a room and I sense something, but I'm not very knowledgeable on the scientific side. Right. You know, I know how to work the basic tools, but when you start talking about the density and the EMF and everything, I look to Russell and go, okay, that's your department, take over.
Well,
you know,
right. Well, let's say Russell, right. When you walk in the door, yeah. Russell, do you walk into the door or walk into the field or walk into the cemetery, wherever it is, and you walk in with this, you're not closed-minded, but I'm sure you're not so open-minded to it that you're going to leave yourself open to maybe not seeing something. But are you more of the type to walk into a situation where your guys are doing an investigation and you're looking to absolutely, you want to debunk, using your words, debunk what they are going to find? Is that the way you walk into it?
Pretty much. I mean, I really am open-minded. I'm definitely not closed-minded when it comes to investigating, but I honestly walk into an investigation, even, say, a client's house. The first thing I always do, of course, I try to find the little hot spots where they apparently see a paranormal or apparition, anything going on. And I honestly try to use the tools of the trade and try to debunk a lot of the stuff, a lot of the claims. Like most paranormal groups will tell you, honestly, about 80% of investigations, there's really nothing there, nothing actually haunting the place.
So people are just imagining what they're seeing or hearing or feeling?
No, not at all. I mean, there literally is always energy in the air.
Right.
Whether it be paranormal or just energy itself in the air. I mean, that's actually where the paranormal comes from. It attracts energy out of anything. It could use a battery, let alone lightning, moisture in the air. I do believe, honestly, there is paranormal. But I've had my own personal experiences. But I do believe there is paranormal. I have seen it with my own eyes. I will not lie about that.
Right.
But I try to debunk everything that I can.
But you're still skeptical. You're still a little skeptical about it. I guess my question would be is, then if you do see it and you do believe it, I think there's a limit to what you're believing. Is that right?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I personally have yet to see that full-body apparition
right.
of a ghost walking around. But when I see it, and that's the proof I need. I literally have to see it.
Right.
It has to be right.
So, and that's the thing. Yeah, that's the thing, too, though, is there's so many people out there that say that they feel things and they see things, especially when Ghost Hunters decided to, you know, how about their show and everything like that. The whole paranormal world just blew up in flames. And
so,
now every single person has had a paranormal
right.
experience. And that doesn't necessarily mean that what they're experiencing is paranormal. They just need to be educated.
Right.
You know, they hear a noise and they're like, oh my God, my house is haunted. Well,
right.
no, it could be the ice maker.
Well, that's
you know,
that's
they just freak themselves out.
That's the reality TV thing coming out. And I know, and it sounds like you're I'll use the word is you're perturbed about these reality TV shows, you know, who do the paranormal investigations. And I've seen them. My wife watches them religiously when they're on TV. But in my opinion, if there's 20 shows on there, I'm going to say probably 18 of them are probably set up and fake or exaggerated. And I think they go out, if they go to a place and they spend 2 days in a place and they don't find anything, a lot of these groups will start creating things just to put it on a TV show.
Well, they have to. I mean, I've talked with, you know, so many people about that too. You know, I've been in the field for almost 7 years now, I've never seen a full body apparition. You know, yeah, I've had a lot of paranormal experiences that I can't explain, which, like with Russell, makes me believe that there is something there. I can't say it's a ghost. I can't say it's a spirit. I can't say it's a demon. All I know is that I have had enough happen to me where I do believe there's something there. Whatever it might be, there's something there. But yeah, that's just kind of how I do it.
Well, let me ask you this. And Russell, you can answer, jump in on this one as well. Well, let's go back to one of the very first shows that ever came on TV. And that was the one, and it's the Penn State Research Paranormal Research Society. Okay. You know which ones I'm talking about.
The Paranormal State.
Right. And these guys have been on TV for quite a few years, and they were actually one of the first ones to come out on TV and start doing this. And I honestly believe that when they first came out, it was genuine. And I really do believe that what they were doing was for real. But what happened was you started coming out with all these other ones, and all of a sudden, like you said, the media is now just bombarded with these groups and these investigators who claim to be investigators and who claim to know what they're doing, and they've taken away from the reality of what this really is, and they've made it more into a I don't know what's the word, but it's more entertainment anymore than it is really trying to learn and understand what's going on. I'm from up in that area up near Penn State, and I can tell you that a lot of the places that these guys have gone to, I have been to myself. Speaking of, I don't know how familiar you are with a lot of they call them the most haunted places in America or not. But one of them is the Greystone State Hospital up in New Jersey. It's a mental hospital up there. They just closed it a few years ago, and I don't know if you know if you're familiar with that or not. I lived up near that place for more than 20 years, and I had never been to it until after I moved away. And if you want to go to a place that is going to give you that feeling in the body that you just do not belong here, then go to this place. You walk, the closer you get to the buildings, the more you get that feeling that I need to turn around and just leave. And I have never, ever felt that in my life. Never. There is
a question for you about that.
Go ahead.
You get this feeling, was this before you ever heard about any paranormal groups going there, or did you hear this, or did you start getting this feeling walking up to it after you found out a group?
No, I had friends who had worked at this place, and they told me about all these things that, you know, how terrible they really did, horribly treated people in this place. It was just a horrible place. And that's one of the reasons why it closed. We had gone up there. And we went to this place only to go there just to see it after everybody was gone, because it wasn't a place you wanted to go to that was filled with all these mental patients. You know, you just didn't want to go there. But no, to answer your question, no, Russell, I did not know that this was a place that somebody had gone to or somebody was going to investigate for paranormal stuff.
A lot of times when it comes to places like that, yes, there's a lot of dread and bad feelings that happen in that place, especially death and mistreatment. That in itself, of course, would give you that feeling, because first off, you're thinking about that when you're walking up to it. I'm definitely not saying it's haunted. I'm not saying it's not.
Right.
A lot of times, like, I'm not going to bash any shows, because there actually are two shows that I really like, and there's other shows that I won't even watch. I won't even recommend watching.
Dude, I don't hold nothing back. Go ahead and bash them if you want to bash them. I don't care.
I can. That's cool. Honestly, I really like Ghost Hunters. I like TAPS, the Atlantic Paranormal Society. I really do like them. I like the way they go about things. I personally, in my opinion, do not believe they fake anything.
Okay.
That's my outlook. Now, there are some other shows, I'm just going to say. There's one called Ghost Tracker TV. Now, I was actually at one point asked to be with them, so I actually got a letter of intent from OPI letting me go and the whole spew. I joined this group for 2 weeks. They were all about trying to get money out of me.
Right.
They're all about it was all about the money. And that's the one thing I cannot stand about paranormal teams. If you, at any point, if they're asking you for money,
right,
you need to run away.
Right.
It's like our organization's all free of charge.
And I don't, I see there's a lot of groups out there that you don't know about and nobody knows about because they're in it to really try to understand what's going on. But what are you going to do when it comes to money? You know, money always wins, and people want to get paid to, you know, create something, even if they have to fake it.
It's true. I mean, the sad part is that ever since, you know, not bashing TAPS because I like them, but you got TAPS, you got Ghost Adventures, Paranormal State. Ever since all these shows took air and getting all this publicity and whatnot, everybody wants to jump on the paranormal bandwagon. I'm hoping within the next 3-4 years, it'll die down and the true groups such as ourselves will still be around.
Well, I think people are smart enough that they'll stop watching the shows that are that are fake. You know, I mean, look at how many reality shows are no longer on television because they're really not reality. You know, there's nothing real about reality TV. Believe me, it's all just scripted, most of it anyway. So, when you see some of these paranormal investigations on TV, you got to wonder, how much effort do they actually put into scripting these shows when they can actually go out and get some real stuff? If they put the effort into it.
Well, that's what I was saying too, is that, you know, we go on investigations for 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 hours and we might get like 3 EVPs, you know, they got to put in, you know, that amount of hours into 1 hour special. And that's what I was saying earlier is that, you know, I've been investigating long enough to know that you don't get evidence every single investigation that you go on. And so it makes me very skeptical when I do watch these shows because, oh, weird, it just happens that there's evidence and they always get something and they always see something and they always feel something. And it makes me wonder if they hype that up or they, you know, just throw that in there to keep people watching. Because if people watched an actual paranormal group go on an investigation once a week, there would not be activity every single time. People would get bored. They would stop watching the show and the show would get canceled.
Right.
You know, and I think right now, Paranormal State focuses a lot on religion.
Right.
They have a priest that comes in. They do a lot of exorcisms.
Right.
They focus more on, you know, they go to church. They're very Christian. They pray. So they're different from TAPS, where TAPS usually goes in. They're more scientific. You know, they focus more on debunking. And then you've got Ghost Adventures that go out and, you know, try to egg on demons, and they just want to get physically hurt and punched and scratched, and they want to go to the most craziest demonic-looking place in the world. So right now we've got 3 shows that are completely different, and for entertainment purposes, I think it's awesome. I think they chose those 3 shows perfectly because they're all different.
Right.
But what I hate so much about these shows, they're not realizing that they have viewers out there that don't know what they're doing. You know, like when I went and watched Paranormal Activity for the first time, everyone said, okay, as a ghost hunter, you know, how do you feel about that movie? I said, as a person, I thought it was pretty cool. I did. I liked it. I thought it was pretty cool. Kind of scared me, you know. From a ghost hunter point of view, I hated it. Because after that show came out, I bet you 50,000,000 people went out there, bought Ouija boards, bought DVRs,
right,
and decided to try and contact whatever spirit. The thing is we don't know what we're dealing with. We could be dealing with demons. We could be dealing with something out there that we don't know. And these shows make it look like it's so easy. All you have to do is just go buy a DVR and a K2. There you go. Go find spirits and ghosts. And I'm sitting here going, okay, this is where people start trespassing in cemeteries and getting arrested. They're giving us a bad name.
Right.
You know, there's people out there that are faking evidence. There's people out there that people are inviting you to come into their home for security. They're scared. And you get these teenagers that come in there, oh, I'm thinking I'm going to investigate your house. And then they're like, wow, that was a waste of my time. And that makes us look bad because we're like, we're not all like that. You know, there are people out there that we do look at it scientifically. We do look at it as we care about it. We love it. We're there for you. We're, you know, whatever. And all these groups, it just kills me. I'm just like, can't we all just become one big group?
Okay.
You know, the paranormal world, why do we all have to just be scattered? It's crazy.
Well, maybe,
it's like high school, you know?
We should, Aubrey should get a job as a TV executive. We'll be right back. Let's talk radio.
It's Talk Radio with J.D. Moore.
Anyway, so listen, Aubrey, you're going to become a television executive and straighten out this paranormal thing on TV? Are you being overtaken by paranormal activity today? Is that what it is?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I've got them around me right now.
Okay.
Crazy.
All right. Let's talk about something here. Actually, I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's do this. I found a couple of things on your website as far as some of these EVPs, okay? And a couple of them that are quite interested in. And I'm going to tell you what I heard, and I want you to tell me what you actually believe is being said in this EVP, okay? And the first one...
hard over the phone, but we'll try.
No, you'll hear it. You'll hear it. Okay. You'll know which one I'm talking about, so you should already know, so you probably won't have to worry about hearing it. But this is the one from the Annie Russell Theater, okay? Do you know which one I'm talking about? The investigation?
From our site, yes.
Yes, this is from your site. I'm on your site. I knew we were going to have an issue, so that's why I went to your site for this, okay? These are from the Annie Russell Theater when you guys did an investigation there. And this one is where someone in here says, are you going to come up onto the stage and perform for us or something to that nature? Okay. I'm going to play it so everyone can hear it. And then I'm going to tell you what I think the response was. And I want you to tell me what the actual response was or what you believe the actual response was. Okay. Ready?
Got it.
Okay.
Can you come up to the stage and perform for us?
Right there. Was that somebody saying yes?
The downside is I actually didn't hear it, but I do know of what you're talking about.
Right, right.
Here's the downside. The two investigators that you're speaking with this evening actually did not do that investigation.
Man, you guys are making this hard for me. You know that, don't you?
I know, but I do actually know which one you're talking about.
Okay.
And if I'm not mistaken, I do believe it did sound like it says yes.
Okay.
The thing is, we leave it up for everybody's own conclusion of what they think they hear. When it comes to our EVPs, we don't like to post what it's actually saying.
Right.
I'm hoping our website designer did not put down there what it's supposed to be saying.
Right.
If he did, I'm going to be very upset. I'm going to have a little conversation with her. if you put what's being said down there, that's called matrixing.
Okay.
Really, that word in someone's head.
All right. Yeah, well, I noticed that with a lot of these, it says right underneath, you know, you let us know what you think the response is, so I can understand that. All right, let me ask you this one. Were either one of you involved in the local cemetery investigation?
Yes, I was.
These are the EVPs from there. The first one, you ask, it says, after I ask for a name, I think I got a response. Hang on.
That's kind of freaky. I'll do it again. Matter of fact, let me get closer to it.
Now, do you know which one that is, Russell?
Actually, I'm looking right at it.
Okay.
If I actually played it on my PC, I could hear it better. It literally is hard to hear.
No, I understand it, and that's we're having problems here. That's why you guys can't hear that. But I'm on the page for the cemetery, and on the bottom, the third one on the bottom, on the left, actually the only one, the one that's on the bottom, where she says, let me get a little closer. And then, I don't know, 10 or 15 seconds later, you hear somebody say something. My take on that is somebody said no.
I'm actually going to play it real quick so I can hear it, and I will give you my honest opinion.
Okay.
And my computer just stopped. Let's try that again.
Let me ask you this, though. And Aubrey, while he's doing that, Russell, go ahead and take your time. Aubrey, let me ask you, when you get a lot of these EVPs and you hear this stuff, and Russell's right, you know, you really don't want to say what it exactly said because it lends to this other thing. But isn't this also come down to sometimes you hear what you want to hear, not necessarily what is really being, you know, said or what it really is?
Definitely would have to agree with you on that one. I mean, I think that sometimes, just like our eyes can play tricks on us, our ears can play tricks on us as well.
Right.
Which is definitely big. I think that a lot of it is, you know, that's why we do let the whole entire group, you know, listen to the EVP and then just kind of say, okay, what do you hear? What do you hear? What do you hear? What do you hear? And not say what anybody hears. And, you know, my big thing is when in doubt, throw it out. You know what I mean? If someone's like, oh, well, I heard somebody breathing, but I don't know if it was me because sometimes, you know, I breathe out loud really heavy or something random like that, then we'll throw it out. There's a lot of EVPs that, you know, I've thrown out in my past groups and stuff like that because, you know, we've doubted them or anything like that. But I think that that's kind of what keeps us from listening or what keeps us more observant during EVPs as well. Is waiting for that response,
right.
You know, and it's just, I love EVPs. I love my DVR. But again, it's all electronic, you know, and it's really difficult to, again, prove or disprove anything with the paranormal because a DVR is picking up any wavelengths you know, of anything paranormal or whatever.
Do you think that a lot of people, do you think a lot of people will sit and tell you, I don't believe in that paranormal stuff. I think it's garbage. But in actuality, most of them do believe something.
Oh, of course. Of course, of course, of course. 110%. I've probably met maybe three people in my whole life that can tell me that they've never had a paranormal experience.
Right.
Many don't want to admit it because they're afraid to be looked at like, oh, you're some kind of a freak. And
well, that, but if they admit it, then they probably think that something's going to come at them. You know, like something, you hear them say that they saw you. Oh, gosh, now it knows I know it's there, and it's going to continue, and it's going to get worse.
I ain't afraid of nothing, okay?
Just so you know, when it comes out of EVP, I actually remember being there for that.
Right.
She's actually getting ready to walk toward the area.
Uh-huh.
And what is said, it's actually two syllables. It's not no, but there's a two-syllable phrase there.
Uh-huh.
Usually through headphones, and someone does listen to it on the site.
Right.
It sounds like it says in a deep voice, don't go.
Oh, okay. But you see, then that lends to what we were just talking about. Then, you know, that lends to what we were just talking about. It is 10 people can hear 10 different things.
It's very true. It's very, very true.
And so that makes it even more difficult. Like you were saying, Aubrey, it makes it even more difficult to prove or disprove. And you know, I can say, well, Russell, you're wrong. I heard him say no. And right. I'll argue till I'm blue in the face and nobody proves anything to anybody on the whole thing, you know.
And there will be times where somebody will be like, I think that I heard a whole sentence, and we'll all listen to it. And we're like, we didn't hear anything.
Right.
We didn't hear one thing. And then it gets so frustrating because you're like, I know it was there.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, let's do this. Let's give the website. It's www.orlandoparanormal.org. And you can go to the website, and there's a whole bunch of stuff there for everybody to be able to click on and move around on. And I'm sure, and even on the site, there's a place to contact, so you can contact them and actually become a part of their group, which is great. And I'm sure you guys want to expand further out too, not just down there in Florida. Is that right?
Oh, very correct. I've actually had two previous people contact me. One was in, I believe, Virginia, and one was in Pennsylvania. If I'm not mistaken, but definitely I know Pennsylvania. Right. I had people from there contact me. It's just we don't have the means and the funds to travel because, for one, we're a free organization. We don't charge. And
right.
It's all about our own pocket money that we have.
Right.
Everything comes out of pocket.
Okay, well, let me give you a scenario. And this is one of my own personal experiences. And my wife and I experienced this. And this was back 26 years ago. Okay. We, like I was saying, up in Jersey, up there, there's a place up in Jersey. It's called High Point, obviously, because it's the highest point in the state, and it borders upstate New York. And we had been out there. We were camping with some friends of ours, and we went out into this extremely remote area of up there and on this road. And we stopped, turned off the car, and we got out. And my wife and her girlfriend stayed in the car. My friend and I, we went out. We were collecting up just small pieces of firewood, dead wood and stuff, take back to the campsite. All of a sudden, the wind just stopped. It went dead. Nothing. No sound. No crickets. No frogs. Nothing. I mean, just absolute dead silence. And if anybody knows what I mean by dead silence, I mean absolutely not a sound. And that's when you get the goosebumps, the hair stands up on your arms, on the back of your neck, and you get that just shuddering feeling. And we both turned at the same time and looked, and way out in the distance, we saw these two red dots just moving around, just back and forth, getting close, going back, and it started moving towards us. And the closer it got, the bigger the red dots got. And it got close enough to where we looked at it and watched it, and they weren't red dots. There were two fireballs. So that was enough to make us just absolutely go just crazy, and we jumped in the car and took off and left. Never went back to that same part of the place again. And so we just kind of, we didn't know what to think. We didn't know what to say. You know, we really didn't even talk about it after we went back to the campsite. We didn't even talk about it for a long time. Then about a year later, we were at a New Year's Eve party. And my wife was in the living room and I was in the kitchen talking to somebody. And she came in to me and she says, you need to come out here. And I walked out into the living room, and she says, can you tell everybody what happened at High Point? And I told the story. And it turns out that right before I came in, and the reason why she came to get me was because somebody in that living room told everybody else the same exact story that happened to them in the same place that we were at. And this is what I mean by things happening with people, you know. And what we found out was the story about what happened up there was as there was a forest fire up there many, many, many years before, and that a little girl had been burnt and died because she was left by her parents in the forest when the fire started, and she died. And they said she'd never left the forest. And those two little red fireballs you see are supposed to be her eyes, and that's all anybody ever sees. So now you guys want to go up there sometime and check it out?
I would like
to say, see, that's my thing. My heart just goes out. It makes me so sad. Aww.
Well, you know,
I would say it does for the little girl.
Yeah, it does. But I mean, those are the kind of that's one. I mean, I got loads of them. I could sit here all night and tell you stories that have happened to me, things that I've done, all kinds of stuff. And this is what I'm saying is I believe, but I'm still skeptical. I see things happen, and I've seen some really incredible things happen. But I'm still a little skeptical because communication, I think, is something that I'm really even more skeptical about because, you know, you hear these people and we'll call them psychics only because I hate the word psychics. I don't like psychics. Why? I think they're all phony. I don't think anybody can sit there and have a full, just straight out conversation with somebody who's dead. Okay, regardless of what, you know, whether you guys believe this or not, but you cannot sit there.
I will not argue with you.
You can't have a conversation with somebody who's dead. I just can't see it. I don't understand it. Maybe that's part of my problem is I don't understand it. But for somebody to sit there and say, well, I'm talking to so-and-so and I'm talking to – I mean, no, you're not. You know, you're not talking to somebody. It's not happening because they're dead. Yeah, there's a spirit. Maybe there's a spirit. Maybe there's not a spirit. I don't know. But until you talk to somebody that I know that's dead and prove to me that you're talking to them, I'm not buying it.
I can't tell you. I know of a process on how to do it. I just haven't bought the equipment yet. There's a device called an ITC for like the hearing impaired.
Right. I've seen those. Yeah.
A gentleman by the name of Andy Kopach, he actually used that device and like did some work with it. He's like a huge scientific bug guy. He can figure out anything. He actually made a device using an ITC for himself and I believe there's four other investigators for at an old abandoned farmhouse. They actually sat down using the ITC in real time because when we do, we ask questions and it gets imprinted on our recorder, so we really can't hear them. We have to go back and analyze it. But using the ITC, right, they can do it in real time and actually have a conversation.
Right.
And I watched the footage. I listened to the audio. And yes, it's hard to believe. Even skeptics, people who don't believe at all, if you really actually watch this footage, it'll blow your mind. The fact that he sat and they talked to this little girl. She was, you know, answering questions, telling the name of the horse that was around. And then, of course, Mr. Kopach said, by the way, it's somebody's birthday here today. And literally in the background, it actually made me kind of like brought tears in my eyes. The little girl, the spirit girl, actually started singing happy birthday using the person's name right there in real time. It's just, it's so hard. I mean, but when it comes to the whole psychic thing, I agree. I'm not saying it's not true. I can't say that because I don't know, but I am... It's so hard for me to believe that.
Right. All right. Well, you know what? With that said, Thursday's my birthday. So, Russell, you going to start singing happy birthday to me? We'll be right back.
Hey, hey. It's Talk Radio with J.D. Moore.
Apparitions, what are they? Aubrey, fill us in. Did she fall asleep again?
Apparitions is basically going to be a shadow, or it can be a fog-like figure that you can see through that people believe are actual spirits in forms. Some people, I don't like to talk about it, but orbs uh-huh. can form into apparitions.
Right.
Mist-like things can form into apparitions. It's basically just going to be a spirit trying to manifest itself before you. Could be, yeah, a shadow. It can be in the corner of your eye, just glancing, something peeking around a corner. Apparition is going to be a full body. I don't think that today it still has, we have any proof whatsoever. There's a lot of pictures out there that show apparitions, but with photo matrixing and everything that you can possibly do to a photo, it's very difficult to prove that anybody has ever actually gotten a full body apparition.
Oh, it's easy. It's easy to fake it these days.
A lot of money.
I mean, you can fake it big time this nowadays, you know, it's easy. I've seen a lot of these shows have, there's actually a show out there, that investigates some of these, the footage of different things and photos.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And they like go out,
Fact or fiction. Or whatever. No, I love that show.
And they go out
yeah,
and they prove or disprove a lot of what's going on. And I would love to be a part of that because, man, I'll tell you what, I'd be devil's advocate like you wouldn't believe on that show. When back in 91 or 92, I believe it was, I lived in Georgia. And we lived in this home. We were actually renting this home. And at the time, I was a huge baseball card collector. And at times on weekends or whatever, I would sit out on the kitchen table and I'd have piles of baseball cards. And they'd be stacked 8-10 inches high, all sorted out, certain orders, everything in specific orders and piles and everything else. And I was sitting at the table doing my cards. And one of the things is you learn when you deal with baseball cards and things like that is when you're sitting at a table, you sit far away from the table so you don't knock it and knock everything all over. I had gotten up and walked out of the kitchen. Now, we had a Labrador at the time, a black lab, beautiful dog, and he wasn't even in there. He was in another room. And I walked out of the kitchen. Nobody was in the kitchen. I came back, and all the baseball cards were knocked over on the table, just strewn all over the table, just all messed up and everything else. And my first thought was the dog had gotten at it and knocked the table, but I found out he wasn't there. I had not touched it. So and I'll explain why I said this. I stood there very angrily and I yelled. I said, I've had enough of this. This was wrong. I'm going to leave this room. When I come back, this better be back the way it was before. I left the kitchen. Maybe 5 minutes later, I came back and every single card was back exactly the same way it was before.
Nice.
And what it turned out was, is the homeowner who owns the home that we were renting it from, his father had passed away in the home about four or five years earlier. And I had told him that we were experiencing some things here and there in the house. And he said, like, what? And I was telling him, he said, yeah. He said, well, that sounds like my father. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, my dad passed away in the house about 4 years ago. And I was like, well, you think you could have told us before we moved in? Well, all kinds of little weird things were just going on. And this is another thing, and I'm sure you guys can relate to this, is you get to a point where it becomes commonplace. And you actually treat it as though it's just a normal part of your life. It doesn't frighten you or scare you or in any way. It's just like, all right, fine. If you want to make a noise, go make a noise and let us just get on with things. You know, that's exactly the way we would do it. You know, we would hear something or see something and we would just stand there and say, are you done? And then it would stop and we'd go on with life and just move on, you know? And I think, you know, we're talking about people who believe or not believe. I think they need to experience more to maybe not understand more, but to maybe be more comfortable with it. Than to be more afraid of it.
My thing is just wanting people to be open-minded. You know,
maybe that's
so
what I was looking for, is being open-minded. Not being comfortable,
yeah,
but being open-minded to it.
Yeah, I tell people that all the time. I said, you don't have to believe me. You know, it's very difficult for me to stand before a bunch of people and say, I believe that ghosts exist. And we live in such a society where I'll believe it when I see it. You know, I'll believe it when it happens to me. And I don't expect anybody to believe anything that I say. I just want you to be open to the fact that it's a possibility. And that's the biggest thing for me, you know, just at least try to, you know. My husband has always been very, very closed-minded, doesn't want to know about it. If a ghost exists, cool, but he doesn't want to hear about it, doesn't want to know about it, nothing. And after the last 5 years, he's kind of had to learn about it because
right,
he knows
sure,
it's not a faith
sure.
And I'm going to do it forever.
Well, it kind of lends to the phrase, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. you know, mm-hmm. or show me and I'll believe. I mean,
exactly.
You know,
and I think that's what's so difficult with the paranormal today is that we don't have anything to prove that it exists yet.
Well, but you do. But you do. No, I'm going to, you know, I don't know what you have, and I'm only going to say this just to make a point, is I disagree with you don't have anything to prove it yet. I think you do. And Russell, I think hopefully you'll agree with me on this, is that you do have the evidence to prove it. The problem is when people see that evidence, they don't believe it only because of the people out there who are phonies and are making it up and creating evidence instead of using real evidence. And then that makes other people a skeptic when you show them the real evidence you have.
Yes, it's very...
Oh, yeah.
All those people out there, they're hurting us. I mean, my roommate himself is a total did not believe whatsoever. And we did an investigation a few months back. Actually, all the team members left, except from him and myself. And we had some issues with camera problems and whatnot. At that point, we actually started feeling nervous, like we shouldn't be there anymore, so we actually left the place. And on further analyzation, we literally had a spirit. And like I said, it was just myself and my roommate there. There was a spirit that literally said hello to us. And it's so loud, as you and I are talking now, it made him switch and say, like, holy shit, it's for real. Excuse me for cussing. My
yeah, apologies. He let me listen to it, and I had to listen to it 4 or 5 times because it sounded so human.
Right.
That I was expecting to hear like a whisper, and I was like, okay, I didn't get it. And he's like, no, it's the hello, listen to it again. And I heard it, and I'm like, okay, but I don't hear anything. And he's like, no, it's the hello. And I listened to it again, and I'm like, no way. Wow. It literally sounded like somebody was sitting in the room with them and just talked. It was just the craziest thing. I wish you had that. Oh,
let's talk about talking spirits. Let's see. In 1983, I was an athlete, and part of one of the things I did was I actually raced bicycles, and I was out training one night late at night, and I'm talking it was 12-1 o'clock in the morning, because that was always the best time to go out, no traffic on the roads. And I was going down this road, and I was in a right shoulder riding down the road, and I had, well, back then they called it a Walkman, you know, the little, you put the cassette tape in, and you guys remember what cassette tapes are. And so I didn't hear anything, but I saw a woman standing in the street on the side of the road, and she was standing there facing me on my side of the road as I was coming towards her. And I really didn't think much of it at the time when I was coming up. So what I did was I turned my head to look behind me and to see if there was any cars coming so I could move out into the road. When I turned back, she was gone. So I kept going. I went down the road about another 100 or 200 feet, turned around, looked back, and there she was standing in the road again. Well, I really didn't think much of it again. Maybe she ran out of the street real fast and came back out. A few months later, I was talking to a friend of mine, and somebody was sitting there listening to the conversation. He says, did you really see that? And I said, yeah. I said, why? He said, well, here's the story. There was a girl out on that road about 20 years earlier who was hitchhiking. Got hit by a car, and the person never stopped, and she died on the street right there at that spot. And every night at the same time, she comes out and hitchhikes. Now, why don't people get this on video? Why can't people get stuff like this on video? I mean, are these ghosts just messing with us and saying, well, you're going to see me, but if you get a camera, you're not going to see me?
Well, that's the spirit you're speaking of. There's two different kinds. There's one that we consider intelligent hauntings. And there's one called residual. All residual means is pretty much a tape player playing itself over and over and over again. So she literally, at that same time, every day or whatever, say 1 o'clock every Thursday, she's always there at that period of time when she got killed. And that's the only time she's there.
Right.
And if that's the fact, we should be there with a camera exactly at that 1 o'clock on that Thursday to try to film her.
Well, I'll tell you what, guys. Next time I go to New Jersey, I'm going to take a video camera with me. And I'm going to go out there at 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to set up a camera to see if I can get this on camera.
Okay, I do want to say one thing. When it comes to paranormal, this is one aspect people don't understand.
Right.
Paranormal activity does not just happen at night. It happens 24/7. The only reason why investigators usually always investigate at night is because You know, the dead are always around. The energy is always around. But the living is usually, I would say 70% of the living is always asleep at night.
Right.
So the town's at rest. We don't have any kind of disturbance
right.
or contamination in our audio and video. That's why investigators do it at night.
Right. So what you're saying is that I could probably see the same apparition. I use the word apparition. I don't know if I should. You know, that I at the same spot all the time? Or is this guy right that it's only one time? You know, at that time of the night, will anybody ever see her?
It all depends. I mean, she might be showing herself at 9 p.m., you know, on a Wednesday of February 8th, you know, every 10 years. Or right. the way I look at it is I honestly, honestly believe that if ghosts want to be seen and heard, they will make themselves known.
Well, just so you know, I never went down that road again. I never did because it frightened me. And I swore I would never go down that road again. And even as an adult, I never went down that road. I mean, out of fear, it was all fear. I didn't know what it was, what to expect, what would happen. And I think it went to what you were saying earlier, Aubrey, is people are afraid that if they admit or, you know, they get too involved with something, that something bad might happen, you know, that it might, you know, consume them or you know, they might become, what's the word?
Well, I will tell you this. It is possible, it's not a known fact, but it is possible an apparition can attach itself to you and follow you home. Not to scare anybody. Don't mean to put it that way.
Is that what my problem has been for the last 25 years? I've got all these ghosts following me now. They're all just like on my coattails.
Well, see, that's the biggest thing, too. The biggest thing that I hear, too, is how can my house be haunted? It was just built a week ago.
Right.
You don't have to have old houses and terrible things happen at that place. If a place is haunted, that ghost could be attached to the land that happened back in the 1800s. It could be attached to you yourself. It could be attached to an item that you have. So just because you move into a brand new house or a brand new apartment does not mean that it's not going to be haunted. Your car could be haunted for all you know.
Right.
I mean, we don't know to this day why ghosts are where they're at. You know, the biggest thing for me is people automatically assume that cemeteries are haunted.
Right.
I think that the only time a cemetery would ever be haunted is if a ghost is attached to the land or if the ghost is attached to their body or the ghost knows their family will be coming there and visiting so they want to be there. It doesn't mean that it's just because it's a cemetery full of, you know, dead bodies that it's automatically haunted. It doesn't mean that. You know, a school of children that had disabilities that were tortured doesn't necessarily mean that place might be haunted. If people have experiences in a place, that's one thing too. It doesn't mean that there's a physical ghost that's haunting. It could just be the energy that was left behind because of something tragic that happened.
Right.
You know, if you walk into your house and you feel, you know, I shouldn't be here or whatever, you might just be feeling something that happened a long time ago, and that energy was so intense.
Well,
it was so much anger or sadness.
You know,
it might just still be there. It doesn't mean that it's haunted.
Yeah, it's funny you say something like that because not funny, but you know, Russell, you had said that spirits, let's call them spirits. I think ghost is more of a word that people don't like to associate with it because people don't believe in ghosts. They believe in spirits, but they don't believe in ghosts. But if you're right in saying that spirits attach themselves to people or things and so forth, it's funny that you say that because we've lived here in Virginia, just south of D.C., for the last 18 years, almost 18 years. And we've experienced things off and on, which you kind of just blow off if it only happens once in a while. And it's like what you're saying, Aubrey. I mean, it could be just once in 8 or 10 years that something will appear at a certain spot. But it seems that here over the last, I'm going to say year or two, that we've started seeing more and more. My son has said he's seen an odd light in the hallway at night when he got up and he came out of his room and there was a light in the hallway. And it just took off and disappeared. There are times, and we can even put it to a specific time sometimes, where the whole house just shudders. Not shakes, shudders. Things you hear. Things get moved. The dog acts a little funny. Sometimes she does. So, you know, I'm wondering if you're right that maybe somewhere along the line, somewhere in my life, I picked up one or two of these or picked up a spirit somewhere, and it's just kind of, you know, hitchhiking, you know, through the rest of my life until I die, and then I can just go ahead and haunt someone else. But
one thing people need to realize, especially when it comes to pets and children, they're very, I can't think of the word.
Sensitive? More sensitive?
Yeah, they actually.
More observant, yeah.
That they can see and sense activity because they're more, especially children are way open-minded. They don't know. I had an imaginary friend when I was younger, and it could have been a spirit for all I know. I really don't know until now that I look back on it, if I was. And just like pets, pets are very sensitive when it comes to that. And just so you know, you'll probably think twice now when going to a yard sale and purchasing an item that wasn't yours. Something could be attached to that item.
Yeah, that's one of the interview questions that we ask before an investigation is we ask, you know, what has changed? You know, what has changed in your life? Did you buy something from an antique store? Did you buy something random, weird, you know, from a crazy store? You know, have you guys been fighting a lot more? Is there anybody that's sick in your house? People feed off and have so much energy that a lot of times people don't realize they might actually be making those things happen as well. And that's the thing, too.
Remodeling your home. Yeah. Like even remodeling your home, because spirits, they're so used to their surroundings.
Right.
Your remodeling your home is totally changing that atmosphere, and they get confused.
Right.
And that,
you know, it's funny we get into this, and this is great that we're getting into this. This kind of leads into something here. Is I'm telling you about so many things that have happened to me. Some of them happened before I was married, and some of them happened before I even met my wife. Since I met my wife and we got a home and we moved in and we were living happily ever after, a lot of this has increased. And what you had said, it's careful, you know, what you might want to think twice about something you purchase at a yard sale. It's not that. It's just that my wife has a lot of heirlooms, okay, from her family. Pictures, picture frames, jewelry, all kinds of things that we have in our home that she's acquired from her mother and her father and other people. And they've followed us since we've been married everywhere we go, of course. So maybe that could explain why no matter where we go, something's happening.
It's a good possibility that something is attached to an item. Always happens. A lot of times it does happen that way.
So maybe just burn down my house with everything on it? Is that it?
What's that?
Just burn down my house with everything in it and we'll be good to go.
Exactly. Just sell everything, get rid of all of it, and just start fresh.
There you go.
Just buy everything brand new.
Sure.
Brand new.
You explain that to my wife, okay?
I collect antiques, so I definitely understand what she's going through. I like the old antique type stuff, so I probably got a lot of stuff at my house because of that.
Right.
So.
Well, you know, it's really weird because when I was one of my very first jobs out of high school was working as a cook in a restaurant. And this restaurant was old. It's been around for years. And one night I was working extremely, extremely late, meaning 2-3 in the morning. And it was that time of the night where it was really slow. So you do a lot of prep work. And I was standing there and the grill and everything where we cook faced the back wall. And behind you was where the prep area was and where the door going out into the dining area was. And I was there. I was in the kitchen by myself, and I heard somebody call my name. So I turned around, and there was nobody there. I just kind of blew it off. And then a couple minutes later, somebody called my name again. I turned around, and there was nobody there. So I thought it was somebody standing there calling my name and ducking down behind the counter there, the prep area, and just messing with me. So the next time I heard it, I ran around to go and look, see who was behind there, and there was nobody there. And a couple more times that night, I heard somebody call my name. Then, a while later, I was talking to one of the owners of the restaurant, and I told him, I said, it was really weird. And he said, yeah. He said, a lot of people have had that happen. I said, why? And he said, well, because years, and probably 30 or 40 years earlier, they had a lot of immigrants who had been working at the restaurant, illegal immigrants, and they all lived in the basement. And they had a raid by either the police or immigration or something like that at one time. And a bunch of them had died at the hands of the authorities that day when that had happened. And he says that, yeah, a lot of people believe that the restaurant is haunted by these people who were killed. And that's why every once in a while you hear somebody call your name or something will happen, you know.
Yeah, but I'm thinking about immigrants, too. I mean, that's the thing that people need to understand, too, is that they have a haunting or something going on with them, you know, and they choose to ignore it, sometimes that spirit will move on to whoever is going to actually acknowledge them. But sometimes they're very stubborn and they will not go away. And sometimes it might be as simple as maybe they hid their diary, right. You know, it's like one of those really cool, scary movies that I love to watch that right. has a story behind it, you know.
Right.
Maybe they have a diary hidden underneath a plank of wood that they just want someone to find so that they can just be at rest. I mean, these ghosts, you know, spirits, you know, have all these reasons on why they're still staying behind. And I think the problem with the world today is that they probably have a lot to say. And they're spending so much time trying to find anybody that will just listen or at least pay attention to whatever needs to be done or needs to be said so that they can move on. And I think that that's a lot of my focus when I go on an investigation is not only am I there to get evidence, not only am I there to help the family, but in a weird way, I would love to help the spirit as well. You know, and I've said that many times, you know. In any investigation that I go on, is if there's anything that you need, I'm here to listen. I'm opening my brain to you, not myself, because I do not want to get possessed. Make sure people do not say I'm opening myself to you, because that is embodying whatever you want to inside you, and that is not cool. But just say that I am here to listen.
So you're going to become a...
Tell me what you want me to know.
You'll literally be a spiritual counselor. We'll be right back. The body won't be ready until we break it.
It's Talk Radio with J.D. Moore.
All right, we're going to give them the website one more time. It's www.orlandoparanormal.org. And let's go back to this. You've got a spirit that is living with you, near you, by you, helps you do your laundry, helps you walk the dog, or you've got one that's kind of annoying, it bothers you, it keeps you up at night, it turns things on and off, opens and closes doors on you and stuff. What you're telling me is maybe you should try to communicate a little bit, even though you can't hear what it's saying. Maybe let it know it's all right, or, you know, something like that. Because I think maybe what had happened to us in Georgia, do you agree that we accepted it and understood what it was and things were okay after that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, if you've got something that is attached to you, whether it be a family member, if it's a family member, say it out loud. Be like, you know, I right. don't know who you are or what you are, but you're scaring me and I want you to go away.
Right.
And the way I look at it is, if it's a family member, because a lot of people want to hope and dream that if a family member attached to them, we get that a lot too. I think it's right. my sister that died. I think it's my grandmother that died. Okay, well, if it's your sister or grandmother and you tell it that it's scaring you and you want it to go away, it's going to go away. You know, if it's something that is just looking for anyone that'll listen, tell it that. I don't want to help you. I don't want to right. have you near me. I'm not going to help you. You're wasting your time. You might as well leave and go find something else. And if it's something that still stays there, then that's when you call us.
Yeah. who are you going to call?
Who are you going to call? Exactly. And then you've got to try and find someone who will help you get rid of it, because you can't get rid of it yourself. Don't automatically assume that you're doomed for life and you're stuck with it forever.
Aubrey, who are you to tell a spirit it can't stay where it wants to stay? I mean, you know, I'll play devil's advocate here. I mean, who are you to tell it it's got to go?
Yeah, it depends on what it is. I mean, again, if it's a family member, you know, and they know that you're scaring them and whatever, then they'll go, you know. If it's a ghost and you're up front with them.
Okay, but it doesn't. But I'm a ghost. I'm a spirit. I don't want to leave. I'm not leaving just because you told me. I'm not going to leave. Who are you to tell me I have to leave?
There's one downside about telling a spirit, like, if you believe your place is haunted. I mean, literally, stuff starts moving around. If you start trying to get ornery with that spirit, it might become malicious.
Right.
True, I agree.
Don't want. I mean, we recently, it was funny you mentioned about folding laundry. I had an investigation this past weekend, and that was actually one of the claims. The customer would be in the kitchen, she would look over in the other room and see an apparition, apparently folding laundry. And
right.
I know we didn't catch any of this footage on video. There was very few audio clips we caught, but it was odd as you mentioned folding laundry. That's one thing that about telling the spirit to go away. You can either tell it to go away and become malicious, or honestly, just ignore it.
It's hard to ignore when it's keep. It's hard to ignore when it's keeping you up at night.
That's a good point. I mean, about 80% of the world's population talks to themselves anyway. So just have a conversation with yourself. Well,
speak for yourself.
I don't make you happy.
I only talk to myself when I got something to say. So.
I talk to myself a lot.
I know. Well, I don't mean to make a joke of it, but my wife does that. She talks to herself quite frequently, and she doesn't talk to herself. She speaks out loud. You know, she thinks out loud. Let's put it that way. And there are times when I hear her say things, and I'm like, I think to myself, who is she talking to? And I do believe that sometimes she believes she's talking to a spirit. You know, telling it to either, you know, stop that or don't do this or what are you doing or whatever. And, you know, my wife's not crazy. She's far from it. And she believes in this paranormal a whole lot more than I do. She grew up in a house, or her grandparents' house was extremely active. I'm not going to say haunted, because I think the word haunted probably puts fear into people's house, into people. You know, haunted means it's something scary, something's going to hurt you, and you're going to go to hell. It's very active. Her grandparents' house was very, very, very active. And I still believe, and I believe even to this day, it still is. And everybody who has lived in that house has witnessed something going on. Whether
that's what state she lives in, or their parents live in?
It's in Jersey.
You said, oh, Jersey, okay.
Yeah, it's all up in New Jersey. And speaking of, and this is, you guys are going to like this, and Russell and Audrey, we'll just figure out how to get it to you. Maybe I'll just throw it on a disc and send it down to you. But we have a video. It's about an hour long, maybe an hour and a half long. And it's uncut, and it's continuous. And have you ever heard of the road? It's called Clinton Road in Milford, New Jersey, West Milford, New Jersey. Look it up.
I'm from Jersey. I should know it.
Yeah. It's called Clinton Road. It's in West Milford, New Jersey. It's up off of Route 23. It's one of the most haunted places in America, they say. And there are all kinds of stories about this road. And one night we decided, we just happened to be up there visiting family. We decided we were going to go ahead and just take a ride. We happened to have the camera with us. So we turned the camera on when we started on the road, and we stopped it when we got to the other end. And we started it again when we came back in the other direction. Now, I'm not going to tell you where, when, or what place on the video there are things going on, because we have witnessed things on that tape. There are things on that tape that you can see clearly something. What it is, I don't know. But I'm going to put that on something, whether it be a thumb drive or something. I'm going to get it to you guys. And I want you guys to look at it, investigate it, do whatever you have to do with it. And then, Russell, you let me know when you're ready. And we'll get back on here. We'll do a whole nother show just on that. And
that sounds good.
And then
I'll be here. Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. But also there have been a lot of people who have been on this road and done extensive investigating and have found absolutely nothing. So it's interesting to see the contrast between the two, of somebody who's just kind of interested and just wanted to see, and other people who do it for a living and found absolutely nothing. And you got to wonder, is that something too, that if I'm somebody who doesn't do this for a living and doesn't do it all the time, I go out and I want to look for something. Is it just going to be, I'm going to see something because that's what I'm expecting? And you guys go out and do the same thing and see nothing. Why the huge difference?
There has been claims that, some of the teams that I spoke with, there has been claims that sometimes we believe, we don't know for a fact, of course, because everything's still in the test stages. Even equipment just keeps upgrading as it goes on. But it's been said that some equipment, spirits are actually afraid of it. You got to think, someone from like maybe the 1920s and 1940s, they see something red. Red means fire. Red means hot. A lot of our equipment has like a red light, a green light. It puts out red beams. We have cameras that shoot in I hate when I have a brain fart on the air.
Well, you know, it's like this. That's good. Yeah, it's good that you make that point, because these people that these spirits, you know, probably I'm not going to say all of them, a lot of them, but are from back in way back. I'm talking 1700s, 1800s, early 1900s. They're still stuck there. You know, they're not living in our time. You know, they're still living in the 1840s or 1850s or the 1910s or 20s. So they, you're right, and they don't see this stuff. They don't know what it is. You know, I mean, how many times have we seen something in the sky, not known what it was, and been frightened about it, and it turns out to be a new aircraft that the Air Force just came out with, you know? I mean,
that's one of the first things we do on an investigation, one of the first things out of our mouth. We actually introduce ourselves by our name. We ask if anybody here would like to speak with us. And we wouldn't even say spirit so much. We just pretty much, is there anybody here would like to speak with us? We don't try to direct them as ghosts or dead or anything like that. And the second thing out of our mouth, we explain what our equipment is. Like, we explain we have a device in our hand with a red light. We'd like to know this won't harm you or burn you in any way. It just helps us communicate with you, and it shows that you are here. We definitely make it known what we have in our hands will not harm them in any way.
Yeah, we try to explain to them how to use it, but I always state, you know, I'm not you, so I'm not really 110% sure on how you can use our equipment, but from past investigations, just seeing how certain things use it, you know, that's why I'll kind of explain a little bit and say, okay, you know, apparently you guys are a ball of energy, you know, if you come close to the equipment, you're going to make it go off. If you back away, you're not.
Right.
And again, I don't know if I'm telling the truth, because I don't know. I don't know. I'm just going by what everybody else is saying, you know, and to go back as far as, you know, what we were talking about before about telling the spirit to leave the house, that's another thing that's totally up in the air too. And I've thought about that a million thousand times, and that's something that I've always questioned that I haven't been able to find the answer to. Exactly. If you walk into a house, it's not a family member, it's not, you know, a friend or whatever, it's actually a demonic, you know, entity, or it's a obnoxious ghost that doesn't want to leave. I agree with you 110%. Who are we to them?
Right.
You know, why do I think that if I walk into a house and say, be gone, spirit, that you're just going to go away? Exactly. Who am I? I'm not God, you know. And that's exactly where we're at right now, is we're trying to figure that out. We're going down the line going, okay, let's try this. That didn't work. Okay, let's try this. That didn't work. Okay, let's try this. And that's why it's an ongoing research investigating type of a thing, is there's so many things that we still don't know about the paranormal. We don't know how, you know, we're trying to communicate with them, and that's our big thing right there. We're trying to communicate and trying to figure out a way for them to communicate with us so that we can get on that level, so that hopefully one day we can have conversations with them and they can teach us how to do that stuff, and vice versa, and hopefully we'll all live in harmony.
So what's the deal with a spirit? Why is there a spirit? Why are they still here? I mean, what is going on that these spirits are just hanging out? They haven't gone somewhere.
Real quick, I have two small explanations. One, there's been some studies going about that there actually are parallel universes. Now, it's really hard to actually, you know, think about this, but the fact that here we are in 2011. Who's not to say that there is a parallel universe from 1940 overlapping ours right now?
Right.
We don't know. We, there's so much we don't know about this Earth and the world and outer. There's so much we don't know.
So parallel universe, what you're saying is it's almost like you take the old days when movies were on reels, and you put two of them together and you play it through the same machine, and you can actually watch both movies at the same time, but they're all mixed in together. But neither one knows what the other one is, or that the other one is there.
Exactly. That's just one theory.
Huh.
Yeah, I had a guy tell me a story one time about how he said it was late at night. He walked into his kitchen, and he said for a split second his entire kitchen was different. He said it honestly looked like to him that his kitchen was something from exactly like 1900s, 1950s. And he said that there was a man and a woman sitting at a table, and they turned around and they looked at him, and they gave him like the scariest look, like, oh my God, who are you? What you are? What, you know? And he goes, I did the exact same thing to them. And he goes, within a matter of second, everything changed. They were gone. My kitchen was back to normal. And he goes, I to this day wonder, was I a ghost to them,
right,
or were they a ghost to me, or did I just, exactly like Russell saying, was there some sort of a parallel past connection that overlaps somehow. And that's what we wonder, too, is all these ghosts that we're seeing, are they actually people that have died and haven't crossed over? Or are we just getting pictures of the past, present, or future? We don't know. We're in such a huge universe.
Well, that's interesting. Planet. It's interesting because you got to look at it this way, too. Not to get off of the subject of the paranormal, but I think it kind of brings us back to it in a way. Is let's look at this thing with this Mayan calendar thing, with this 2012 thing going on. People say the world's going to end in 2012. But with my studies on this whole thing is with the Mayan calendar, it actually only goes like 1,080-some-thousand days. That's what their calendar goes. They call it a world age. And the world ends, the one world age ends on December 21st, 2012. And then the new world age begins on December 22nd, 2012. And that kind of interesting because maybe somebody back then, 3,000 years ago or 4,000 years ago knew something maybe we didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Because how more open-minded can you be than a primitive culture back then? I think we're too smart for our own good. I think we are too arrogant. I think our society is extremely closed-minded. We're very arrogant. Mm-hmm. We don't want to think that there's something smarter or better than us. And
yeah, I agree.
I think it maybe if you agree or not, but I think some of these spirits see that and don't like it. And I think that's why we get a lot of negative energy from a lot of things that we see going on. How many times, like I say, you might be sitting there by yourself and get this weird feeling or this something or what's going on. Maybe it's one of these spirits saying, hey, wake up, you're not that smart. And I think, Russell, I really, you've got me thinking about this parallel universe thing because it really starts to explain a lot what's going on. Deja vu, right? Who's to say?
Right.
It's not maybe you didn't live in that era. Maybe at some time, during your sleep or something, you saw this or something happened or, in this parallel universe. And all of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute. Because maybe, do you think maybe your future is happening before you? And you're just kind of catching up or something, who knows? Nobody knows. And I think that's part of the unable to understand what's going on and why people are so skeptical about it is because you just don't know. And I think a lot of the work that you guys do is great because you're trying to understand and bringing people like me in who are skeptical, even though I've had a lot of good experiences. And I say good only in that they've been extremely eye-opening. I can say I'm still a little skeptical about some things. People's eyes, and like you were saying, Aubrey, in the beginning, they play tricks on you. I wear contact lenses, and there are times when I see things, and I'm wondering, what in the world is that? And I realize it's something on my contact. It's a smudge or something. Right. And so I I'm like, no, that wasn't that, and that's why when you guys get this video from me, I'm really hoping you see all the same things we saw. And I'm hoping that you hear all of the same things that we heard on that tape, because we didn't hear those things when we were driving through. We didn't hear them until we actually went back and reviewed the videotape. And we didn't listen to that videotape until almost 2 months later because I actually lost the charging cord for it, so I couldn't watch them on the computer, so we couldn't do that. But when we saw that later on, I have never in my life, only the second time in my life, had I ever gotten that feeling, that really, really scary, eerie feeling in me when I saw and heard what I saw in this video. So hopefully you guys will see the same thing. And, we'll come back and we'll talk about that. And I'm sure that's going to be an interesting show as well. It's www.orlandoparanormal.org. It's the Orlando Paranormal Investigations, and it's Aubrey Law and Russell Martina. Guys, I appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much. This has really been an educational show, and we are definitely going to have you back soon. And I hope you guys will be willing to come back.
Oh, definitely. Thank you.
You got it. Hey, this is I'm JD, and thanks. And this is Talk Radio. Make sure you come back next time. We are going to get some good stuff going on the next show. We are going to talk about the death penalty. Yes, that's right. We are going to tick off a lot of people because there are people on all sides of that issue. So make sure you come back.
It's Talk Radio with JD Moore.